This is Nursing in America. Each week, we speak with incredible Filipino nurses who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. We are so excited to have two new guests today who are going to be sharing their story with you. And we can't wait to hear all about your journey and to learn from your experience, the good and the bad. Jean will be joining in the conversation. So my name is Tanya Friedman. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Kinetics USA. And we are sharing the stories of nurses from all over the U.S. who have encountered this journey. The reason why we're doing the DOFORA talk show is for many of you in the group, you are, you know, so worried and frustrated and have been going through the journey of getting to the U.S., passing your NCLEX, passing your IELTS, getting the visa screen, getting a sponsor, getting a petitioner, waiting, encountering many hiccups, and then not realizing that when you come to the U.S., there might be other successes, but also challenges that you encounter. So the purpose of the talk show is for nurses in the group to share their story. We have a few ground rules that I just want to share with everybody. The first is that we ask the guests that come on the show to be authentic and real. This is our group. This is our safe place to land. And we want not just a pep talk. Of course, we want the pep talk, but we don't just want a pep talk. We really want the real journey, the good and the bad. And how, if there was some bad, how you overcame that. And then also we ask our guests not to share, you know, where they're working, if they came with a specific agency name, if they're in a specific state, because we really just want to keep this neutral. So with that said, let's get started. Elaine and James, we know it can be very scary and overwhelming, right, Jean? Do you remember the first time we did this, Jean, how nervous we all were?
Yeah. I was very, what do you call that? I forgot. Excited and apprehensive, and I have palpitations the first time we started this one.
I remember it well. I had butterflies in my stomach. Lelaine and James, do you feel like that a little bit as well?
Yes, I'm very excited because this is actually my first time to, you know, to have an interview on online, and you know, I know that there's a lot of nurses out there who are interested to watch and hear our stories.
Yeah, and thank you for being brave and for doing the interview, because I know that it's going to be so inspirational for so many people. What about you, James?
Yeah, it's kind of different kind of audience because I use Zoom in my classes because I'm a university faculty, so I use Zoom a lot, especially with the pandemic. So like half of the semester I've been doing Zoom like 2 to 3 times a week with my students. So this was just a different audience. So I'm kind of comfortable, but you know, with a different audience, there's always that little anxiety. So especially what kind of questions they'll be asking. But yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you haven't used Zoom that much, or if you've used it more like James, it's still a scary experience. And I really am so grateful to Lelaine and to James for doing this. So we amongst friends. So this is just going to be, you know, a casual chat. And we're going to be sharing your stories. Okay, so first question, and everybody, if you have a question, please post it into the chat. As I said, please do not private message Lelaine and James. We want to respect their privacy, but you're welcome to put your questions into the chat. We'd love to hear from you. So, Lelaine and James, do you want to just tell us a little bit about your story? How long the process took for you to come to the US? What was it along the way? Just share your journey of getting to the US, just up to the point when you got to the US. Lelaine, maybe ladies first.
So we applied for a fiancé visa in 2015, and it took us 3 months for the whole process. So we applied in May 2015, and I got my approval in August, and then I arrived here in the U.S. in September
4, 2015. Wow, that's so quick, Lelaine. Yeah. I know there's so many people on the in the forum that are like, oh, I wish that was me.
I know. Yeah, I was very blessed.
Yeah, you were lucky. James, what about you?
Well, first of all, I would like to say I started my journey, last century, if I would put it. So I was with that group that had a retrogression way back in the 90s. So I started my application back in like 1994. I graduated in 93. I started the journey in 94. Then I had a retrogression. So like nobody left for like probably about 5 years. Then in 99, I had to reapply. So I started from scratch. The good thing back then was that they were offering immigrant visas, the H-1A back then. It took me about from September of 09 when I applied. Then I finally got to the U.S. July of 2002. So that was about more or less 2 years, more than 2 years of processing and waiting. 2 years, which was pretty much the average for an immigrant visa back then.
So a very different story from Lelaine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jean and I can relate a little bit more to James, right, Jean?
Yeah. Mine is like nine months. It's a very quick process. It just took me 9 months. The agency that helped me, it's only 9 months process for me. It was so quick. And I graduated 1995. I came here in America in 2006.
Wow.
I applied in 2005.
Wow. So that's in the olden days, right, Jean?
Yeah.
It was also quicker.
Yeah. We're already old.
Well, I go back even further for everybody watching. On July the 4th was my 20th anniversary that I left. I came from South Africa many years ago. And on July 4th, Independence Day, I always think it was really my independence because it was life changing. That was how long ago I left South Africa, my home country, to come to the U.S. So it really is a journey for everybody, different for everybody, but it has its ups and downs. Lelaine, when you first arrived in the U.S., what was it like? What was your first few days here like?
Actually, I was pregnant during that time. So it was really a challenge because, I have to take care of my baby at the same time. But it was a good experience. I like the weather. The people are very friendly, very outgoing. And I just enjoy the atmosphere, the foods, the nice places. Because we arrived first in Guam and then to Hawaii and then in San Francisco.
Okay. So it sounds like it was quite an easy first few days.
Yes, it was very easy. Yeah.
Well, that's good. And you, James, was your first few days also easy and kind of smooth?
I actually had a very pleasant experience with the hospital that hired me. They actually formed a Filipino nurse task force for the hospital because it was their first time to hire a lot of nurses overseas. So they really made sure that all the nurses that they hired were taken care of. So right from the airport, how could you imagine, just imagine the HR director getting my luggage, you know, all those HR people and managers and some directors, even one of the directors of nursing came to meet us, and they housed us to this different apartment. So we were really very pleased with the accommodation, with the welcome. So the first few days were really settling down. You know, the Southern hospitality, the Southern U.S., we felt that they gave us probably a few days to rest. And the following Monday, it's like, okay, orientation time. So it was pretty much very, very, I would say, pleasant and easy.
Okay. And very often those first few days are really what we call the honeymoon. You know, it's really just easy and you're just so excited and happy to be here. Do you remember those first few days, Jean?
Oh, yes.
Tell us about it.
My first few days. So from the airport, the liaison of the agency fetched us from the airport, and then we went to the buffet, we went to the Social Security Administration office, and then we went to the furniture store to get our things, so we don't have to, but we did lay on the, like a water bed, air mattress on the first day, first night, because we still don't have the furniture in the room.
Yeah.
But it was a pleasant experience.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. If you know a friend or colleague who would benefit from listening to this conversation, please let them know about the show. We want to help as many nurses as we can turn their dreams into a reality. If you're thinking about making the step to living and working as a nurse in the USA, we can help you. Head over to kineticsusa.com to find out more. That's kineticsusa.com.
The hospital staff had to also learn the Filipino culture. So one of the funny things that they did was to make sure that in every apartment, the first group of nurses that arrived, there were 11 of us, the first group. There were about like 150 nurses that they hired at the time. They had to make sure that in every apartment, you won't believe it, there was a rice cooker and rice. So they really shopped from like the Asian store. So because they know we will be looking for that. So, I mean, that was one of those surprises. Yeah. So those little things,
Things that make a difference. Yeah. And you, Elaine, were there any funny stories or any thing that you experienced in those first few days that you remember?
Yeah, because my first day, I remember my husband took me to a restaurant, and then the waiter asked me for my order. I said, I just want a corned beef hash with bread. And then he asked me, what kind of bread do you want? I said, I don't know anything about bread. I mean, I didn't even know that there are different kinds of bread. So I just told him, just give me a regular or plain bread, because in the Philippines, we only have one bread, you know. We serve every breakfast. It's like pandesal or tasty. So I was too shy to answer the waiter. So I just told him, whatever you think is good, then just serve it. And I have no problems with that.
It can feel very overwhelming, right?
Yes. Yeah.
As you're talking, it reminds me, the first time that I came to America, I came to visit my sister. She was living here already. And she asked me, can I go to the supermarket to go buy some apples? And in South Africa, you had green apples, you had red apples. You didn't have like all these different varieties of apples. Yes. And I went to the store and I literally just like stood there because I didn't know what to pick. I didn't know. There were like so many different varieties, so many names. So, and then when I came back home, she was like, what took you so long? You went to go buy apples. Yeah. But sometimes it's those little things that can just be so different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true.
So if you think back, Lelaine and James, what would you say were the biggest challenges that you experienced? Because often what happens is like those first few days are kind of like the honeymoon. And then in the coming months, the first like 6 months to a year, and Jean knows this Well, I know we've spoken to spoken about it on previous Lafora talk shows. Tell us about some of the challenges that you had and how you were able to overcome those.
I think when I was
go ahead.
I think because when I arrived here in the U.S., I started applying for the NCLEX-RN exam. So I think that was the biggest challenge because they asked for a lot of requirements. And I have to wait for, I think, like 3 months to get an approval to take the exam. And then after I take the exam, I have to apply for a job. I think that was really a challenge because, you know, I stopped working for like a year because I was pregnant. And then I have some fears that they might not hire me because of my gap, of my work gap. But I was able to work as a nurse like 1 week after I passed the NCLEX-RN exam. So I was really, I feel so blessed.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was a good ending. What advice would you give to somebody who finds themselves in that position where they're coming in and they have a gap and they don't have a petitioner? So maybe they're not coming on an EB3, they're coming like on a fiancé visa. What advice would you give to somebody looking for a job in that kind of situation?
Yeah, so during my interview, just be honest, you know, with your nursing experience. Tell them what kind of patients you had before and just tell them the truth, you know, because you cannot lie with your employer because they can see it when you start working. They can observe if you really have an experience or not. So just be honest. That's it.
Yeah. That's good advice, Lalaine. Very, always be honest. Honesty is the best policy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jean, do you have any other advice maybe that you can share with any nurses that coming in a similar way to Lalaine, not on an EB3 and looking for a job?
Like coming in like a fiancé visa and they don't. So if you are coming in here in the United States and you don't have, you didn't pass NCLEX yet, then it depends on the state where you are living because some of the states have different requirements. So different states have different requirements. So like if you are in California, if your relatives are in California and you came in here as a tourist or as fiancé visa, so when you come in here and you apply in California board, like I know you have to have your ORDR cases to be evaluated in California Board of Nursing. But then if you don't have that, then that's the very big problem. And it will take like maybe 6 to 8 months for the evaluator in California Board to evaluate your credentials. And then sometimes they will say that you need to take classes first. You need to enroll in the OBGYN or PDIA or MedSurg. And so if it's difficult for you to apply in California, then probably you can go in other states like New York, because New York has, they don't need experience. They don't even need you to have a license in the Philippines. So look for a state where the requirements are easy, and then maybe after passing that NCLEX in New York, then you can probably endorse it to California Board of Nursing. But I don't, I cannot guarantee that if you also pass New York NCLEX through New York Board, then you won't be advised to take the classes anymore. It just all depends on your evaluator.
Yes.
So if you need help in those cases, you can just ask me.
Yeah. Jean is really the expert. She knows all of the boards so well. There's a lot of information also in Lafora. So if you find yourself in a situation like Lalaine, really Jean is the go-to person. And there's also a lot of information in Lafora. And I would probably also suggest that if you are going for interviews and you came, for instance, like on a fiance visa, one thing that I would just suggest, and James, I don't know if maybe you have maybe some advice as well for nurses in that situation, but when you go to the interview, it's important to do your research about that facility. So not just go in and say, I'm looking for a job, but to do your research, to be able to say what is special about that facility, and in the interview to share what you've researched, to show that you really are committed and that you are really interested in that specific organization, and to show your enthusiasm. You know, you can say, I had a gap like maybe Lelaine did, I had a baby, but I'm really committed, I really want to learn. James, do you have any other advice maybe to share just in getting the job, like going for the interview if you're in that situation?
This is one of the sessions I have with my students, you know, helping them get a job for interviews. So one of the things I tell them is, and also based on my experience, is that you're right. You have to know the facility you're going to be working at. You have to know visit their website, know their vision and mission, and you want to articulate those words, those core values, and how you will be contributing to the mission, to the vision, and how those values are consistent with your own. And you should be able to make that connection, because when employers are looking for a prospective employee, they are looking for, you may be the best in the clinical skills, but you know, if you are not a good fit with the organization, you will lose a chance for getting the job. And there's a mantra in hiring now that they say, we train for skills, but we hire for attitude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you have to show that professionalism. You know, don't be insecure, or don't feel less if you didn't have, a lot of, say, patients with trach care or trachs or IC experience or IV, they will train you in those. So, which sometimes in the Philippines setting, we have a different hiring, practice back there. It's like, who's the most skillful, who has the most trainings? And here it's the attitude that you will be able to demonstrate or to show to your prospective employer. So look at their website and see how you fit to the organization, how you can help, and achieving their mission vision.
Yeah, that is great advice, and I think you hit on the key word, and that is attitude, because I think so many employers are going to look at your attitude and at your motivation, and that's going to really help you and go a long way.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Nursing in America. Part 2 will be available next week, so make sure you come back to join us then. If you enjoyed the episode, please help us by hitting the follow button on your podcast player and leaving us a review. If you're thinking about making the step to living and working as a nurse in the USA, we can help you. Head over to kinetics.usa.com to find out more. That's kineticsusa.com.